I'm just here to talk.
I'm not interested.
I was hoping this conversation would go better than the last time we spoke.
You mean last time when I killed you?
You'd think I'd remember something like that happening.
I recall putting a quick two in your chest, and then finishing you off with a headshot.
Did it work?
It usually does. It's a hell of a trick you're trying to pull on me, whomever you are.
Stefan, Al-Ziz, remember?
You look like him, but here's the thing. Looks can be quite deceiving in this business. You could be wearing his skin, doing some mind magic. Maybe you consumed his brain and are imitating his form. There's also cloning to be considered. Fuck it. Maybe you are the actual guy and somebody brought you back from the dead.
Or maybe you are mistaken about killing me.
I don't make mistakes.
Oh, I'm aware of that, Mr. Lepus. You are not a man to be trifled with. My previous offer to you was not to your liking. You could have always discussed it some more. Like civilized gentlemen. It's only business.
There's nothing that I want from you.
Now, perhaps. But one day, there will be. One day soon, you'll need a favor. Would it not be worthwhile to have me in your debt?
I'd rather have you dead.
You could have anyone you want dead. What's my life compared to any other?
You bother me.
And I also puzzle you as well. My presence puzzles you. How did I arrive at this party? This facility? What am I doing here? What is it that I want?
You're clever. You insert yourself in a location where you do not belong, and then you make use of your intrusion as some sort of bargaining chip.
Something important is going to happen. Something terrible, too. You're supposed to stop terrible things from occurring.
I'm more like the guy that they call in to do the terrible things. You think you're going to pull something on my watch?
I'm not going to do anything.
Cute.
I would like to take a look at that book you're guarding.
Oh, you're a really funny guy.
You can keep it. It's a copy after all. I just want to see it, briefly, before it's stolen.
The jokes keep coming.
In exchange, I can tell you how it will be stolen, and tell you how you should protect it.
Yeah, or I can pull you into one of our back rooms, break both of your legs, and then slowly cut off your fingers, inch by inch, until you tell me everything you know about the plot. You know? Fuck that. I think my suggestion is the better one. What the fuck did you do?
Pity you did not take my offer.
Yeah, it's a real fucking shame. Maybe this time you'll learn to stay dead.
As the last embers composing the body of Catherine Seas scatter over the snowy wind, Crawford, you don't see much of the result. You feel it. You know it worked. You heard her. That much is clear. You figure pretty much everyone in the whole mansion heard her. It's a big mansion, but it's not that huge. And you feel exhausted. Absolutely, this has taken a lot out of you to summon this fiery strength out of you. So what do you do now?
Like, kind of stumbling onto the bed, I'm going to attempt to cast Song of Power again, which would come out pretty desperate at this point, I would think.
I would agree. So you cast Song of Power. Remind me again, I don't know if you have the description. Do you see, is there a sanity loss assigned to that puppy?
If the activation succeeds, lose a POW, and you have to roll 1d4 sand for it.
You lose POW permanently?
Yeah, 1 POW permanently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So roll 1d4.
I don't have much of this to give. I rolled a 4.
Oh boy.
That's like a quarter of his will sanity right there, right? Like
it's almost a third.
It was almost a third. Yeah, that takes me to 11 from 15.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Okay.
Hanging in there.
You just lie down on the bed and you kind of chant this low hum. I don't think it's conscious much anymore. It just kind of like the noise of it and the vibrations coming from your throat are kind of separate from yourself.
Right.
You permanently lose 1 POW.
15.
You still have 15 POW?
I think he started 17, yep. Right?
He did.
Wow.
Very high POW.
That's impressive.
But you feel, again, disconnected and exhausted, but you do feel a surge of well, power in you. And as you do, you close your eyes for just a couple of seconds. Usually it always works better when chanting this, to close your eyes. And you open your eyes and you realize that you are chanting. You did the entire song, it would seem, outside of your bedroom, outside of your the room where you were, and you're just walking around the entire length of a half-exploded hallway that is burnt, charred. It's quite a large section of the hallway that exploded, quite frankly, once you channeled the sacred fire. And there seems to have been a lapse in your consciousness. You did not do this willingly. Or at least you don't remember doing so.
I imagine like the footprints where she was walking or running to the window, just like blackened and charred footprints across the hallway.
Melted carpet. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. And that there's this weird kind of residue over them. Almost like more splotches than actual footprints that are waxy, like melted wax,
like her skin.
Yep,
her quote-unquote skin.
I'm probably not there enough to realize, but does it look like the when I did the vision, like when I looked forward, does it look like that, or is it a different type of substance?
Very much different.
Okay.
In your vision, it was this weird kind of half alive gray silvery sludge, while this is, it looks like wax.
Okay. Like, as I figure out that I kind of lost some time, that would probably be concerning, but not enough to stop or, like, at this point it's pretty much on, so I'll probably walk over to the hole, honestly, like, see if I can find physical evidence of what occurred. Like, how far did she make it from where I'm coming back to consciousness?
She essentially ran for about 12... give or take 12 meters.
Okay.
And went inside of a room, kept going, and ran through the window.
Okay.
You follow these kind of tracks, these steps?
Yeah.
You see, it kind of leads to this mangled, smaller suite. It's probably for one person, unlike the one you have for the all three of you. And it's ashy. Everything is just gray and kind of blackened. Pretty dangerous place to be in. It might collapse, but it's not the first time you've been in a half-burned part of a building, I'm sure.
Right.
Especially while you're a fireman, right?
Right. Well, my best friend's a fireman, but I help him out all the time. So,
yeah.
Like, this is not Ironically, I also caused them.
Mm-hmm. You certainly have caused this one. And you see the waxy steps lose in consistency of wax as she ran and threw herself out the window. You see the room is in complete disarray. There's like a large desk that's been turned over, and everything has been, well, quite frankly, you think there's objects and maybe chairs that have been burned as well. There's some small bits of the room that are still burning as well. There's some small flames here and there, and as the wind comes in from outside, from the broken window, it keeps these small flames alive. And you do see in the room, attached to a wall, these kind of strange long ropes, and attached to the end of them, maybe 4 foot above the floor, are these strange circular stones, rather thin. The circles are pretty much perfectly carved. And on them, they have these kind of strange lines and symbols. There's 3 of them. And the 3 of them all hang at different heights. It seems like they've been left untouched somewhat from... Well, the blast wasn't here. It was in the hallway. But in her mad dash to try to survive, or not quite sure what she wanted to do, it seems that these stone circles have been left untouched.
Okay. I think, as I like looking at all that, I would smile until I noticed the stones. And they're out of place untouched. Like, everything around them is burned and charred, and they're just chilling.
Yeah.
It's not something I would recognize. Like, it's not any of the writing or symbols that I've been taught or any of that stuff.
I mean, I don't know. Roll unnatural.
Okay. That is a 17 under 40.
Oh. You don't recognize the symbols per se, but the fact that they're perfectly circular, she did give you a paper where she draw herself a perfect circle. Maybe she made those herself, you're not quite sure, but there's the material they're made out of. It's kind of interesting. Some kind of stone, but it looks like a dark crystal at the same time. You don't know what that is, but you kind of want to just, like, touch it or, like, flick it for some reason.
Yeah, I think at this point, with the amount of sanity that I have left, caution isn't a high thought right now, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would, like, put the circle thing together. She gave it to me, it was like a cloth, not necessarily, was it a... paper, or was it like a cloth? It was like a rag, right, that she gave
it
to me?
It was a rag, yeah.
And I used that for the spell, so that turned into ash when I cast the spell, right?
Yes, because she it was hers.
Right. It was my link to her DNA.
Yep.
I think I'd like get down, because they're low, right? Like they're hanging just barely off the floor?
The lowest one is maybe 2 feet off the floor, then one is maybe 4 feet, and then another one maybe 6 feet. They're not arranged all next to each other either. Maybe there's one, and then 2 feet to the right, there's another one, and then maybe on the other wall, on your back, there's another one.
All right.
They kind of look like, actually, with your unnatural, they remind you of dream catchers.
Okay. But no, like, feathers and...
No.
Okay.
Maybe reverse dream catchers? You're not quite sure. You're not in a... What's your occult?
Base 10.
You're not quite sure.
Like, I'm not a good cult leader.
Well, you just you just destroy wizards. Yep.
I think since there's some compulsion involved, I would spin one. I think I'd spin the lowest one.
Okay.
Like, just grab it and spin it.
Sure. Very light. Yeah. I mean, it's hanging from a rope, so you don't have to support its weight. You kind of just spin it, and as you do, like, as it spins in the air, it almost makes, like, a small sound. Like, as if you shoot an arrow, or you shoot something in the air, or with an object that you kind of hit with it very quickly, and it kind of whistles in the air. It's kind of the same, but there's a weird metallic resonance to it that is quite odd.
Oh, now I'm intrigued. Do the other two make... pitched sounds or the same sound? So I'll go spin the other two in order and listen.
They make a similar sound, but in different pitches, yes.
Hmm. So at this point, I'm kind of torn between... Do I still realize the situation? Or is this something that would pull all of my attention? Right? Because, like, I still did an insane thing. There's a lot of people with guns around. We're still in this mansion trying to do this crazy thing. Is my mind able to still separate that's more important, or would this completely suck me in?
That's up to you. If you want the dice gods to decide, I would say roll, make a sand roll.
You know at least one supervillain who had a vested interest in keeping her alive.
Yeah, and another one that ordered me to kill her.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a supervillain. That was just a person.
He seemed pretty super villainy to me. Or super okay. Something.
That's Delta Green for you.
Dude had power. And in Crawford's world, anybody that has power is a threat, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's up to the dice.
Okay. Let the dice gods decide.
50 or greater, I get sucked down the hole and investigate the things more, and...
And the other one, you're like, oh god, I gotta get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting concerned about thugs with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. 61.
Okay.
So, Michael would be thinking about what she said, and would start looking around the room for materials to make his own.
Okay.
To make a fourth one.
What would you roll for that? You have craft?
I have a 40 in craft as a mechanic.
Roll it.
Okay. Ooh, 19.
Okay.
My intent would be to find the materials, to replicate it as well as I could, and then to hang it in the same step, but going up. So if the last one, if it's 2, 4, 6, it'd be 8. Mm-hmm.
You manage to do so. You kind of tinker with it, and you don't know how much time it takes. And frankly, you don't care. You just do it. You grab, like, material, maybe, like, some charred wood that you kind of, like... You basically make a dream catcher, but you try to make it as full as possible in that kind of circle. You grab some pieces of metal, maybe, like, a metallic piece of a chair. You kind of break it in half. It's already half molten anyways, and kind of put it together as best you can. It is very ratchet. It looks absolutely murderous and insane, but you kind of attach it, and you spin it. And the pitch is...
It's the next step?
It's higher. Mm-hmm.
And?
You're just gonna spin it. The pitch is good. But it's... You succeeded in your unnatural. You need a multitude. And this is just but one sound.
I think I would sit down, right? And feel defeated that wasn't enough. But I'm aware that... It would take a lot more effort, or it would take more objects, at least, to do something.
Not objects. It's in the...
Arranging?
Not the arranging, it's the sounds, it's the vibrations. Just like your Song of Power.
Okay.
This is you, it was a drop in the bucket. You need more. In the correct order.
Okay, at this point, I feel like this would consume him, and he would start... I mean, essentially, somewhere between the chanting that he knows is effective already and, like, music, like, using makeshift percussion, right? Like, finding a glass and a spoon and seeing how that sounds in the pitch and, like, playing with adding to it.
You just kind of think about it and then you go back to just... Like hitting, like just a glass that you took from somewhere, and just listening to the sound it makes. You're like, I don't remember doing that. You've got it, sure.
I'm jumping in and out, but I got it now.
Mm-hmm. There's just one thing left to do.
Okay. Some kind of trigger.
Play it in order.
Okay. Excitedly. I would play it in order.
Okay, you go to the lowest stone to the highest as you just run like mad, just hitting like the glass and then this weird metallic stone and then this and the one you made and everything, and then it kind of resonates. As all of them resonate for a bit too long, and there's just this kind of low hum in the room, and something is kind of pulling at you, like you feel like you need to give of yourself.
Probably instantly at this point would drop my willpower against it.
So you're trying to push it away, or you're trying to...
No, I'm saying I would stop resisting.
Okay.
And let it have whatever it wants.
Roll me 1d8.
The one die I didn't pull out of my jar. An 8. Oh! I told you the dice weren't going to be good.
Something is straining hard against you. And then you're like, okay, that's enough. Like, I did everything what I needed to do, the sound and the pitch and the resonance and everything. Everything is okay. And then it just keeps taking and taking and taking. You do not know how long it takes. And eventually there wasn't light in your room here, but there was some light still intact in the hallway. And you could see, you knew that there was still electricity in the entirety of the mansion. All of it goes dark. And very, very silent. And you hear from a distance this weird... It sounds like shards of metal or glass.
Oh, fuck.
Being like, or nails on the board, but bigger and more horrifying. And not two or three of them, but thousands. Just make this noise from deeper inside the mansion. All of it together, it sounds like a howl.
What have you done?
And then, like, silence, and you hear absolutely bone-chilling screams. And then just the sounds of something being torn apart. And then silence. You just called something here.
Oh, man.
Let's get back to,
I'm fucking scared now.
So David and Jan, you're outside. And it's chilly. None of you have your coats or anything. Wind has picked up a little bit. The sun is going down. You have maybe 20 minutes of sunlight left. Like, it's very, very low sun over the crest of the horizon. And you have this kind of weird, disparate blob of people in front of the mansion. There's this kind of, these low hums and these people kind of like chatting with each other. But everyone is kind of looking over at the blast, at the conflagration where fuck it, someone just ran outside a window, burned, screamed, and then kept burning. I'm not even going to make you roll with your 100 humans, David. You can see what's on people's faces. Fear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what's going on. They do not like it. And you see a lot of people kind of looking behind, like down the road where you arrive to the mansion. It looks like some of them are looking to, you know, skedaddle.
Okay. Interesting.
But not everyone.
What I'm looking for at this point, I'm looking around and I'm trying to get a read on who in this situation seems like they're going to try to take advantage of this opportunity. Who here knows what's happening,
mm-hmm.
in the broad sense of that?
Okay. So I'm gonna have you roll human with a minus 20%, yep. Because it's a crowd. So lots of faces, lots of people.
Minus 20? Oh, I think I got it. Yep. 73.
Yeah.
Under 80.
You've got it. Quite frankly, probably one of the hardest reads you've had to do, like, ever.
Yeah.
Because it's chaotic. You yourself have... Well, you're working right now. Like, you've got it. But
mm-hmm.
The situation is not normal. There's pressure. Lots of it. people are kind of coming and going and moving. You see several people kind of go to the parking.
So people are like leaving. They're not just staying in a group.
First, after like a minute and a half and 2 minutes, some of them are beginning to leave.
Does anybody go back into the house?
No.
Okay.
But you see a couple of people that kind of look back, look inside the house, maybe lean over and talk to someone else, look back.
Yep.
There's about 10 people here that you know are going to... They've got stakes here, and they will stay.
Yep, okay.
You see in the middle of the crowd this very tall, sallow, thin man with a nice black suit. Kind of like just this blonde hair on top of his head. You've seen him. He was next to...
The guy.
The guy that was next to...
With Varney?
Varney, yeah.
Okay.
Just kind of looks around and you see that he trails behind the group of people, beginning to go to their cars and beginning to leave.
Interesting.
And you see that he kind of reaches behind, like behind his suit and very...
He's not letting people leave.
No.
Okay.
He just kind of puts something...
I'm less worried about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think David is immediately more concerned with the other 10 or so people who seem like they might be plotting to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
He's with Jan. He's going to basically, you know, if we're like off kind of away from other people, we can talk in private sort of.
Yeah.
He'll say, what do you want to do?
At this moment, is anyone armed? Or I see anyone pulling arms out or holding, you know, putting their hands on their weapons.
You don't see pulling out, but you do see hands kind of wander towards, you know, the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, towards their back, or just kind of like twitches towards where...
Okay.
Yes, several people here are harmed.
Gotcha, that's what I expected. My next question is, I'm going to glance towards the parking area. Is the parking situation a like traffic jam in the making? Like if everyone panics, it's gonna be impossible to exit that. Because that's my second assessment is that's a bad route.
What's your military science?
His military science is a 60.
This shit is gonna jam to Kingdom sign away to Tokyo.
So Jan immediately crosses that option off his list. Says that's a bad go for me. All right, I look to David. I'm gonna pull David aside. Say, David, let's run.
Where?
Follow me. Stick with me. Can you keep up?
Sure. Yeah, I guess so.
I won't go too fast, but we want to get off. I've got some stuff waiting. It should have arrived earlier today. I need you to let's hoof it, man.
Okay. All right. Lead the way.
So I want to leave the grounds, not in a full on sprint, but kind of a tactical retreat, a quick pace. Try to keep a low profile. Don't go. I'm not going to my vehicle because that's a bad route. There's that location, that cove where I indicated where I wanted the weapon drop and supply drop. That's where I'm retreating to. I want to take David with me.
Gotcha.
We're gonna go on foot. I was thinking originally I'd take my car, but that's trouble. So we'll hoof this, and we'll carry the gear.
Yep. It's maybe a 10-15 minutes walk.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a jog.
Or a jog.
Mm-hmm.
You did it this morning, so maybe, you know, faster. I would like for you to make a stealth roll with a plus 20% because all of you assess the situation.
So my stealth is 80.
Damn!
Mine's 70.
So with a plus 20, do I still roll? Or I guess I'll roll for...
I mean, if you crit.
Yeah, 65.
65. David, are you're following as well?
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's a 89 under 90. Ooh. So not a crit. Yeah, very high roll.
All right.
Okay. You essentially take, you see, you kind of begin, you discuss to kind of like, okay, let's go take our stuff. And you hear from, like, the parking, a very kind of, it's pretty loud, but a muffled kind of stomp. Both of you know what that means. You're like, okay, time to go.
Sounds like your friend's getting busy.
Yeah, he's not my friend.
All right.
As you kind of slink away, you hear coming from, like, inside the mansion, this kind of weird, almost, like, monotone opera singing. But there's no lyrics, it's just these kind of pitches going up and down, and then just stays the same. David, you hear kind of like a word like a couple of times in there. You hear like something like Yugoff or Yagoff, or you're like, what the hell is that?
Yup.
That's great.
Do I recognize the voice?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Okay, it's Crawford.
It's Crawford.
Motherfucker.
Okay.
He's singing loudly from inside the mansion. Just.
I'm just gonna let that happen. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not gonna interrupt that. Probably should, but.
The both of you slink away to you jog, and instead there's more and more snow that has accumulated, and wind is picking up. Like it was kind of light, cute snow earlier in the day, but right now it's like the wind kind of whips. It is definitely not as comfortable. You jog there. Eventually, it's dark. It's dark out.
Good.
It's quite cloudy, but that does hide your little nocturnal jog. You jog there, and you kind of go down this small little path that opens into this rocky cove. And I'd like for the both of you to make a search roll.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Search is a 40.
Mine's also 40.
64. So that's a fail.
Come on, baby. Oh, 37.
37.
Nice.
In the dark, maybe I imagine some of you have flashlights or maybe like the light of a cell phone. Oh, well, no, actually. No lights of a cell phone. Scratch that. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Yeah, not yep. yet.
Nope. You kind of look around, you're kind of stumbling in the dark, and you just hear kind of like the crash of the waves as you're searching. And again, it's a rocky beach. A snowy rocky beach. You yawn, and you're like, fuck, where is it? Like,
yeah, I mean, I gave him coordinates, but obviously it could have drifted anywhere.
Yep.
I mean, within basically a 50-yard beach area. And we got to search amongst all the rocky shore area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm searching.
Yep.
And it's probably going to be black bags. You know, that are waterproof bags, essentially.
Yep.
That's what we're looking for. Nondescript, you know, military size.
Black bags in the dark, in the Black Sea.
Yeah.
On the rocky shore. Tough.
I imagine you describe that to David.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
He's looking around, too.
We're looking for four bags, David. Four bags about this yay high, round, sealed, black, probably slightly submerged or even below the waterline.
Okay, all right. Do I see him?
You kind of look around, and eventually you see these rocks that are kind of scattered. And these are some weird shapes for rocks. And you see they're tucked away, like one, they're all, one is almost like in the water. One is maybe closer to you. They're all in different spots. And in the dark, they're quite frankly very hard to find, but you spot them.
Okay. Yeah, I'll point them out.
Great. Okay, so I'll go over there and we'll haul those off out of the water, number one.
Yep.
Get those onto the drier area of the shoreline. Double check to make sure we're not being watched. We're still alone. We're still secluded. We're still secure, right?
What's your alertness?
So his alertness is a 80.
80, you are alone.
Okay, then remove the seal, unzip the first one, and unzip to start unzipping all four bags right here on the beach.
I'll help you.
All right. First thing I want to do is get the tactical armor out. I'll get one set, give one set to David, get one set for myself. I take my jacket off, put the armor on, and then I show David how to put his on as well.
Yep.
So I'll dress him up. So we're both going to have essentially armor for David.
Okay, cool.
Is what we'll have with this. This is a reinforced Kevlar vest we'll have, and then I'll have a tactical gear over it. So he's got the tactical web, the belt, he puts the belt on, the shoulder thing, and then opens the next bag up, opens up the gun cases, begins to check the guns, and then I'll give David a shotgun, so a tactical shotgun is what you'll have to use.
Okay.
I ask if you used it before, and I don't care what the answer is. Yeah, you're using it, so, and then I'll open up the case where the ammunition is, hand that to you, and I'll presume you know what to do with that, right?
Yep, he does.
He goes, gets his M4.
He was in the military.
Good. He gets his M4 out. He had to attach the, what is this thing called here? It's Advanced Combat Optical Gun Sight. Mm-hmm. Make sure that's secure. That should have been pre-attached anyway, but he has to just take it out of the casing and make sure it's okay. Turn it on, you know, do his check, field check the thing real fast. He'll get a couple of handgun sidearms, put those in the pockets where they need to be, check those. You know, he's doing his whole equipment thing. And then the last two bags is basically some explosives and some grenades. So I'm going to give both of those to David. I'll take a couple of the grenades for myself and attach those, you know, where I need those. I need David to carry. You can haul the explosives for me, David.
Okay.
That'd be great. Over your shoulder. I'll also give you a medium pistol sidearm, too.
Yeah.
You'll need that. And here's the ammunition for that. Probably have two magazines that you can use. You know, each one is like a, I think it's like a 15-round clip in each one.
Perfect.
You know, you know what? You can use a suppressor. I'm probably not going to be using that, I don't think.
Okay.
Have you used that before?
Yeah.
All right, I'll put that on the gun for you, you know, and go through that process.
How much ammo for the shotgun?
It's a box. So a box of 40 shells. You won't need 40 shells.
And I can't use the explosives. My demolition's a zero.
You can carry those.
I'll hold them, yeah.
Yeah, I want you to hold those for me. I got some det cord and some, you know, plastic and some remote timers and detonators. And
perfect.
We won't be blowing any bridges today, but we may blow something else up.
A shotgun and a silenced pistol. You have the two extremes.
Yeah.
Yep. Quiet and very, very loud.
Beautiful.
Okay. So all of you are equipped. You emerge from that rocky cove, yawn, very comfortable. It is not the first time you've equipped yourself in such a manner. You've done it many, many, many times. As for you, David, maybe a bit less comfortable.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
He was in the army for many years, but yeah. he after like basic and maybe some, you know, a couple missions or something, he transitioned into the clandestine services pretty quickly.
But a shotgun, I mean, it's squeeze the trigger and it goes boom.
He knows how to fire a weapon for sure.
Yeah, maybe a bit. The tactical armor is the Kevlar vest is a bit more awkward.
Yeah,
and so is trailing this other bag, which I don't think is very heavy, but it's still just something else that you're trailing with you. But the two of you kind of emerge, kind of go up the path, back into like the kind of mountainous plateau of Torso Island.
I'll stop him before we get into sight.
Yep.
All right. Well, before we get back into view, all right. So, Dave, there's two options here. My suspicion is that the folks on the outside who are going to shut down the parking are also going to take control of the situation. I think that's my read on it. Somebody is going to take control of the chaos. I'd be willing to bet on it. And the activity is going to happen first in the exterior to keep anyone from leaving so they can control exits and entrances. Right. Then they're going to move into the first floor. They're going to cover the ground floor. They're going to shut things down. And there's going to be a firefight that erupts on the inside of that mansion. That's what I predict. With that being said, I've got a little bit of gear in the back there, but we're going to have to take it real easy. It's dark, it's wet, it's cold, but there's a basement entrance to this building. There's a cove beneath the building.
Okay.
I think we can enter through the basement and possibly avoid what's happening above us. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that option better. It sounded like it's Varney's goon who was taking care of people back at the mansion. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she or they are trying to cordon things off. But yeah, I like the cove approach. Why don't we...
Yeah.
Why don't we take a crack at it? Real quick, though, Crawford.
What about him?
What did he do?
He went boom. Whatever the hell it is that he does, he blew some shit up.
Okay, alright. Alright, let's hit it. We'll worry about that later.
Alright, guys, just stay with me. If I'm going too fast, let me know. I'll make sure we gotta stay together. I want to stay off the road.
Sure thing.
So we're gonna be going a little... little off-roading here, but the snow should make it real easy for us.
Hey, man, you just lead the way. I'm right behind you.
All right. I mean, let me know if you need a break.
It will do.
I don't want to wear you out. I'm going to need you frosty and not exhausted, but let's go.
David cocks his shotgun.
Yeah, careful with that.
Yeah, so ready to go forth. As you said, you're staying off-road, so kind of navigating. It's not very... There's woods around the mansion. You know that it's not natural. Like it was planted and everything and taken, you know, taken care of. But otherwise, these are classical Scottish Highlands. You even see a little bit, like you saw it when you were jogging, these kind of like large, you know, Highland cows. They're still around. They're here. Do you have a... What's your survival or navigate?
All right, so survival is a 50. Navigate is a 40.
Okay. You can roll survival with plus 20% because you're not alone. If you're going in the wrong direction or something is maybe not a correct path, you have an extra pair of eyes.
So that's a 76. What was it? You said plus 20?
Plus 20, yep.
Yeah, it's still a fail. Oh well. All right. I get a little off.
Yep.
Yep.
It happens.
So you kind of walk in the dark. Maybe you have a flashlight. If you do, do you open it? Turn it on.
I think if once he feels like he's getting lost, he's gonna get that from his gear. It's probably one of those. What do you call those things? It's you get attached to your chest harness, and it shines forward.
Yep.
A body flashlight.
Yeah, body flashlight. Basically, yeah. So my hands are still free. I don't have a gun light. I don't think back in the 90s we did that.
No.
Too bad. It's too bad, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it's chest mounted. He'll turn that thing on, look around a bit, and once he knows where he's going, he might even just turn it back off again and then keep going.
Well, that's exactly what happens. You kind of like take a moment, you look around, and you continue on. I'd like for you to roll, the both of you, if you wish, make an alertness roll.
All right.
Okay.
24 success.
75 is a failure. Over 60.
So David, you're pretty much following along.
Yep.
Following.
He's not really in his element here.
No, yeah. For you, Yon, you all eyes always scanning left, right, kind of up, looking back and making sure everything is okay. You see it because Torso Mansion kind of stands above the rest of the island. Flashes of light coming from inside and outside. You see the flashes. Well, you hear, you see the flashes, and then you hear kind of like these very characteristic pops.
Mm-hmm.
And then pop, pop. And then other flashes, and like other pop, pops in response, and then the lights. Like, you hear maybe one first, and then another, and then another, and another, and then it just keeps mounting, and it doesn't stop.
David hears that too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of pause, look back at David, motion towards the house, and just give him a kind of knowing nod.
Mm-hmm. And he looks like maybe at this point he's a little out of breath, but he's he just nods back and gestures like, keep going.
Yeah, hey, we'll keep going. We are avoiding that house until we we're going through the basement if we can.
And as you're kind of navigating, you're like, okay, well, like a full-on shootout has erupted in the house. You kind of trudge on, and then something else to the edge of your vision catches your attention. Very brief. In the sky.
Oh, shit.
In the sky?
Yeah.
I probably think it's a helicopter at first, but I'll take a look. What is it?
You kind of look like, is that a helicopter? Because it doesn't make any noise. And then you kind of look again. You step a bit forward, you take a better look, and yeah, it's a helicopter. That is absolutely silent. No noise whatsoever.
Okay. I will duck behind some cover just to make sure.
Yep.
There's no way they can see us, but I'm just that's gonna mess with my head. All right, and make sure it goes past, and I'm out of its view before I continue.
You don't honestly know if it can see you, but this thing is like it's night, and that it's a black helicopter. That makes no noise.
Interesting.
And you kind of continue and you trudge on, and eventually you see these, like it's stays stationary about maybe 20, 30 yards close to the mansion, and you see these shapes just kind of go down the helicopter.
they're fast roping guys down.
There's no rope.
Oh shit.
You just see these shapes kind of jump.
Wait, what?
And kind of fall down as if they're in water, and then land, and then another one, and then another one. And you see they are heavily armed.
What?
And then you see like they follow in a line, go inside the mansion, and if it was a shootout, now it's anyone they're encountering is getting shot. And these are not semi-automatic weapons, these are full-on assault rifles. There's five of them that dropped, made their way inside. And as they landed, you just silently see this black shape in the sky fly away.
I wonder who this is. I think I have an idea of who it is, but...
It's trouble.
It could be anybody. Well, yeah, of course. I'm just glad it's not Bob and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, we still got the Hound of the Baskervilles to worry about here.
All right, let's move in. I keep going back to where I found that cove earlier during the daytime.
It's there. It's a drop, to be sure.
Okay.
You could jump in the water. You don't know how...
Yeah, with the gear I'm carrying, I don't get it wet anyway. I don't want to get my ammo soaked.
Mm.
And also, even though we have waterproof bags, I'd rather not. So I'll stop digging one of David's bags and try to find some of the rope I have in there and pull that rope out and get the gear to attach it. Essentially, hook up a mount for us up on the hill and then secure it. And then we can slowly rappel our way down to the cove is what I want to do.
Yep. You kind of install it, set it up with a metallic that you just kind of like drive in the ground. Mm-hmm. It's cold ground, but you can maybe nudge it between rocks as well. Tie the rope around it, and can rappel your way down the cliff and inside that cove.
Yeah. So I'll tie the harness around David. I'll show him, here's the rope we use. Is it tight and loosen it? I'll kind of show him. All right, what you do? You know, just let it loose a little bit here, it'll go, then pull it the tight, and just take jumps, just jumps. Jumps down, you know, watch me, I'll go first, you follow, you know, give it some space, take your time.
Yep.
Here we go. All right, so I'll back down and do the hop, hop, and just let the rope go bit by bit as I work my way, rappelling down towards that cove.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make you roll. You've done rappel in similar situations. You go down, 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 hop, hop, hop. Extremely controlled movement, and you get to the bottom, down to the cove.
Yeah.
For David, maybe a bit tougher.
Yeah. If he has done it before, it's been a long time, and it was probably just in training.
Yeah. So I'd say make a strength or dex roll.
Okay. I will do dex, because it's a little higher. It's 50.
Mm-hmm.
33! Oh my god, 33
roll. That is a crit.
Of all the times to crit, oh my god.
Maybe you have a moment of fear of like, oh fuck, I'm really doing this, right? And need to push it down. It's go time right now. You gotta go. And you do. You rappel down and yawn. He did this pretty much, maybe a little, that little hop was a bit sloppy, but the rest, phenomenal.
Alright. Cool.
Yeah. So pat you on the shoulder, unhook it from your belt, your harness. You take the rope down, leave the ropes there, so we can exit if we need to get back up.
Sure.
Yep.
Check. I'm assuming we're on some kind of a beach or something down here. What are we seeing down here when we're down at the sea level?
So what you see is the maybe a 15-foot high entrance. It quite frankly looks like a cavern, like a cove, that leads underneath the island. Or at least underneath the ground. And what you see are some kind of small harbor of some kind. It's not huge, but you see that there's like docks. There's like two docks. Currently there's one ship that is there. It's a small, it almost honestly, quite frankly, looks like it's a pretty average small, not a fishing boat, but a boat that you take on the, like, it's good for the sea,
right?
But it's not gonna get you to another another country.
Are we alone? Is there anyone down here?
I'm making an alertness roll.
I'll do one too.
Oh, that's a 100.
Oh my god.
Is it 000 is what that is.
Mine's a 26 under 60, so just a regular success.
Okay.
Shit. All right.
Yeah. Honestly, y'all, you gotta look around. Nah, no one is there. Get away, boat. Hell yeah. Kind of continue on. You do see two persons that are kind of stationary and in a bit farther away inside of the cove. The two of them of exactly the same height, dressed exactly the same way, and are just kind of there looking quite strangely at the walls, like the rocky walls of this cove.
Yeah.
In complete silence.
Jan sees this or David sees this?
You see this.
Okay.
But you honestly,
he'll point it out. He'll like catch him on the shoulder and be like, "Wait."
Yep. As you do, he kind of like walks forward and slips on the wet rock.
There it is.
And it a couple of rocks tumble down, and you see the two guards. It looks like turn around and look at you both. Initiative.
Oh God.
Here we go.
Oh my God. Okay. My dex is 50.
So my dex is an 80.
Oh. All right. They turn around. You did fumble, Jan, but you're quick to react. And you see these kind of two shapes that have exactly, like, pretty much, well, not exactly, well, not pretty much, exactly the same face. They kind of look like an early 20s man that has no facial hair, completely bald. They kind of go for their weapons. They don't say anything. They just go for the arms they have. But you're quicker to react, so it's your turn.
Yeah, so he raises his gun and just opens up with a three-round burst.
Yep.
I mean, I'll just fire at one of them. I fire in the area, but I'll shoot at one of them just for mechanics purposes. Squeeze off the burst at this range. Oh, well, it's a 33, so that guy's gone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Just roll your damage and we double it just to see what the result is.
Well, it's lethal 15.
Yep.
I got a 79 is what I rolled, so I wouldn't, 7 plus 9.
Times 2, so 32.
So this poor guard eats 32 damage in the face, as it's clinical. Three-round burst, bang, bang, bang.
In his poor clone face.
And just kind of tumbles backwards, and that's that.
All right.
So end of your turn. David, it's your turn.
Yeah, so I think after rappelling down, David probably wasn't holding the shotgun anymore, so he grabs his pistol instead, and is going to take aim with that, since it's silenced and whatnot. And longer range, and I will fire. I got a 40 firearms, so let's see if I can hit. How far away are we?
Inside of 20 feet.
I hate to report, I rolled a 99.
Starting out with a bang.
The pun.
Starting out with a bang, or lack thereof, you go to shoot and jam.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not terrible.
Okay.
He'll start looking at it, like turning it over in his hand and pull the receiver and try to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That guard's dead. The other guard is going to grab his pistol and kind of aim it at the both of you. And it like eyes wide, but there's no fear in his face. It's a very inhuman reaction to his fellow guard just having been gunned down in a second. He's going to turn around to Jan and attempt to shoot him. And I don't think they don't have much cover, and neither do you. It's just kind of like a surprise, like, oh,
yeah.
Oh shit, it's happening. No. Shoots in the general direction where you are. You probably move out of the way. Shoots two or three times with this handgun.
Hits the rocks behind him.
Hits the rocks behind you. It was kind of the timing in between the shots, the classical double tap. This was sloppy, quite frankly. These are not incredible killers.
What can you expect?
Too bad.
They're clones. They're not good at anything.
So Jan, but right back at you.
Yeah, so he just quickly, just quick flick of the wrist where he changes it. It just changes targets in an instant and just shoots at the second guy.
Yep.
So that's a 39, so that's a success.
Mm-hmm.
And then damage is 72 on the crit table. So that's, I guess that's 9 is what that would be.
Yes. So you kind of shoot in the lower belly area, kind of like a quick burst. You see tumbles backwards. Actually, let me roll for something. You hear like a short kind of weird grunt and tumbling down like on top of the docks and scrambling.
Oh.
It seems like the target is still alive, but not exactly lively. So, David, it's your turn.
All right. Was I able to dislodge the jam?
Well, you can do that on your turn. Firearms.
Okay, I'll do that. Oh, you want me to? Okay, sure. I will roll 37 under 40. Hey.
Been a hot second since you've had to unjam a gun. You're like, what's...
Okay. Yeah.
Shotguns, not too complicated. Okay. Cling out. Maybe get your finger caught in it. It's okay.
Right. Yep. Then I would get it ready for the next round, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Second guard is gonna get the fuck out of there. Or not.
you hear kind of tum 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 kind of running on a metallic dock. A slip and a heavy mass kind of tumble and fall on the ground hard. Jan, it's your turn. You know this guy's just face planted pretty hard. He's a very easy target.
All right, if he's an easy target, I'll just finish him off. Wherever he's laying, I just lower my aim and just fire another one burst into him. It's an 11 on that.
Hey, so that, there we
that,
go.
That takes him out.
He's dead. You just kind of like navigate, like there's like two docks, one on the right and one on the left that do have a connection in the middle. He was on the right, he kind of fell. You kind of skulk your way on the left one, take a kneel. He's just on the ground trying to get up. Bang, bang, bang. Done.
Good.
And as you shoot, you see that he kind of looks at you in this weird, mute, creepy expression. Kind of reaches forward, not like in I give up, in a weird kind of grabbing way. And as you shoot him, hair exhales out, and you see his body begin to kind of coalesce. And in the small hole, like holes of this metallic dock, this kind of silvery liquid just kind of pool and fall through it.
What the hell are these things?
That's creepy. All right, good. So Jan will move quickly. He'll advance quickly to make sure there's nobody else, that he didn't miss anybody else.
Yep.
So he's a little bit concerned that he didn't see these two guys until David pointed out. So he's going to quickly move into a secure location with some cover beside him, scan, make sure we're okay before he goes any further.
Alertness.
And David will bring up the rear.
All right. So this is a 30 on his alertness. So that's a success.
Yep. Kind of scan quickly. There's no lights on.
Okay.
Which is which makes this extremely dark. So do you stay? Do you use the dark to your advantage, or do you want to actually see where you're going?
I'll keep it dark. I'd rather keep it this way.
Okay.
All right. So if it's secure and where there's no one else here, I want to move towards this boat. I want to investigate this boat very very carefully. I'll probably go on the boat, make sure there's nobody inside the boat, nobody below.
Mm-hmm.
It's an empty boat, right?
Not exactly.
Oh.
As you step inside, you see that there's a figure that was kind of crouched inside, kind of wearing this black suit, a handgun in his hands. As these kind of like black sunglasses are on the ground next to another man, and as soon as you kind of arrive, he just kind of stands up and aims at you. But he's not surprised, and neither are you. You succeeded on your alertness roll, just kind of aims at you.
Yeah.
And you see the other man next to him kind of stands up. Pretty tall guy. Has kind of like Greek features. Slicked back gray hair. And has a bit of like a stubble. It looks maybe in his 50s, give or take. Just kind of stands up and kind of puts his hands up and says, You don't have to do this.
Do I know who these two are?
Well...
We saw them.
The one that pointed a gun towards you, yeah, you've worked with the guy before. And the one next to him is this... You don't know the name, but he was the one kind of trailing around with these eight folks that you saw in the airport.
The one who we didn't have a name for, yeah.
Yeah. You, David, you do... You kind of see this... It's a pretty tall guy. Stand up. Again, you're going to remember a Michael Bellick.
Yep, okay.
CIA relation... Maybe ex-CIA or still... It's nebulous, to say the least. Just kind of puts his hands up and say, listen, both of you, I know you're with the company. We don't have to do this. We can help each other out here.
So David, seeing this, will gesture to Jan and be like, put your gun down.
I keep my gun trained on the guy. The other guy's pointing a gun at me, so I just keep mine on him.
Yep.
Okay.
But I'm watching him.
You see, he just kind of lowers the gun more towards his hip.
All right. See, I'll bring mine down just slightly.
Yeah.
But I'm at the ready. All right, and make sure... Keep an eye on these two, and I'll see what David wants to do.
What are you doing here, Bellick?
Well, I was here to find out what the hell's going on, and I got my answer. This place is a madhouse. Just a madhouse. I want to get out.
Who sent you?
Well, no one sent me. I was here because I wanted to see from my own eyes what was going on, and... I got enough.
Who told you about it?
Associates of mine. I can't tell you much more, but I know who organized it.
So do I.
Croft. Justin Croft. Powerful, powerful man. He's... Listen. I think I have a slight feeling what you're here for or who you're working for. I've got no qualms at all.
Can you tell me what this is all about?
It's a trap. This place is a trap.
I can tell that.
Anyone who won the auction or got close to it, and he does a gesture of slip neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Like a honeypot.
That's honeypot is the correct word. That's exactly what it is. Vani doesn't know because she's too much of an idiot.
We were told, and he looks at Jan. He kind of hesitates for a second.
I can just look like, I don't know about this, David.
We were told to clean this place up.
I'll just nod.
Clean how?
How do you think?
Well, I'm afraid to say you're not going to be the only ones. Those NRO goons are going to be... There's going to be more than you. In fact, they're probably already here. And you don't want to cross paths when they do arrive.
Does David know what NRO is?
You've heard the acronym. You don't know what it stands for, but you know these are killers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where their names follow, death also follows.
These are the guys who came from the helicopter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. That's what David's assuming, if he hears that acronym. Okay.
I mean, my guy would know that's the National Reconnaissance Office.
Yep.
Which, you know, Air Force intel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Where is the entrance to the basement? We understand there's an entrance down here somewhere.
Just kind of points down further in the cove. It's right there.
Is it, like, super obvious?
Not incredibly obvious, but you see it.
The door all lit up?
Well, there's no light whatsoever. It's just
okay.
Very, very dark. But you do see that there seems to be always a continuing kind of metallic doors, and there's maybe like a stairs that go up.
When did you come down here to the boat?
Well, that's a good question. As soon as I heard an explosion, I was not going to stick around.
So it was after the explosion?
Pretty much right after, yeah.
Any idea what caused it?
No, but nothing good.
What's your plan?
Leaving.